My name is Stephanie Youngers. Today is September 23rd, 2010, and I am interviewing Mr. Cecil Tucker here at the Museum of Seminole County History. Mr. Tucker, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Well, we'll start with where and when you were born, if you were willing to give us that information.
Yes. I was born actually in Brevard County in Rockledge. May 26, 1931, and we lived in Rockledge, my mother and dad and I, for just a few weeks. My dad was working for the state in the tick eradication, and his job as a range rider was over in East Orange County. So he moved us to Bithlo, and so I was in. Actually, he was already working for the state in headquartering out of Bithlo when I was born. My mother went over to Cocoa, where there was some of the family to help with. When I was being born, we lived in Bithlo for about 6 months, and then we moved to Christmas.
Okay.
And that's another story.
Yeah. And is that where you live now? Is in Christmas?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How was it growing up there? Obviously different from today, but.
You know, Christmas is kind of in a unique community. In a lot of respects, it's not a. There's some areas of it that's not a whale of a lot different today than it was when I was growing up, primarily because the people work real hard to keep it that way and don't let influence come in.
That's good.
But the community is always had a, it's a real close knit community, and people pretty much look after each other and help each other out. And the historical park at Christmas is helping to preserve some of this kind of history.
Like we talked about the Cracker Christmas.
Yes,
and that's Christmas. One of the main events out there that I know a lot of people don't hardly go to Christmas, but during that time of year, you'll find a lot more people out there.
Cracker Christmas is always the first weekend in December. That also is the time that we have the tree lighting and carol sing. We have decorated a Christmas tree, a large living Florida red cedar. We've decorated it every year since 1952.
Wow.
And we have the carol sing and tree lighting and carol sing always the first Sunday in December every year. So Cracker Christmas, that weekend involves usually the tree lighting and carol sing as well as what's going on at the fort.
And is it like crafts and things at
yes,
the fort?
Yes, at the fort, crafts, and yeah, it's a real nice festival, really is. And
I know most people that go to Christmas during Christmas time want to get their letters stamped.
Yes.
from Christmas.
That's an interesting situation. When Mother became postmaster in 1932, she found out how much people were interested to get their cards postmarked at Christmas time. So she created a Christmas tree cachet that could be put on the extra onto
the
cards.
Envelope.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so she started doing that, and that was in 1934.
And everything's by hand, too.
And everything was by hand.
Wow. Yeah. So How many people do you think, on average, would come through
well,
there?
Well, it started out, you know, it'd be 30 or 40,000 a year. And now we're probably somewhere between 300 and 500,000 a year that have this done. It's just one of those extra little special things. We don't get a whole lot of cooperation out of the post office department because mm-hmm. they consider this an extraneous thing. It creates more problems for them.
Right. But you all still do it
you
out there.
We still do it. Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy. Was there any other kind of events and things that you can remember growing up? Or
the as I was growing up, the school, the activities at school, pretty much centered, it was the activities in the community.
Okay.
We'd have school plays and get-togethers at school, a covered dish dinner and this sort of thing. And all those kind of things just go on all the time in Christmas.
Right. And the school is located not in Christmas.
Yeah, until 1969, there was a school in Christmas.
Oh, okay.
It started out probably the 1880s.
Okay.
Could have been a little before that. The church in Christmas was started in 1871, and shortly after that, the school was created in the church, in the building.
Okay.
But we've had a school in Christmas ever since, until 1969, when it ended up getting moved to Bithlo.
And that was all the grades throughout?
It was eight grades. My first 8 years of school was in that building. The first four grades we called the little room, and that was in the small room. That building has been moved to the fort and is one of the preserved buildings at the fort.
Very nice.
The large room was grades 5 through 8.
In the high school?
In those days we had a junior high.
Okay.
But it went from ninth grade on.
Mm-hmm.
And now they call it what?
Now they have elementary school, middle school, and
middle
high
school.
School,
yeah, they call it middle school.
Yeah. So. And which high school did you go to?
And then I rode a bus to Orlando and went to Memorial Junior High in Orlando. And then I transferred in my 10th grade to Orlando High School, OHS.
Okay. And after that, you went to the University of Florida?
Well, I went to Orlando Junior College. Mm-hmm. Which was there in Orlando, and it was in the early stages of junior colleges getting started. But I only went 1 year because I had, in my 4-H work, I had won a scholarship to the University of Florida. And that scholarship was fixing to expire on me, so I had to transfer out of junior college up to the university so I could get my scholarship.
Welcome back to your schooling. How long were you into the 4-H? I mean, what did you do while you were in there?
I was always very active in 4-H. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I got on up to, I stayed active in 4-H even when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I drove my dad's cattle truck, and I would haul our dairy heifers to the various shows around. I carried Orange County heifers to Tampa to the show.
So you showed dairy cows?
Showed dairy cows and beef cattle.
All right. And so did you show any hog or anything like
that?
No,
never was very intrigued by hogs.
I can understand. So you won a scholarship through doing your shows and things?
Through the 4-H, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
Wasn't a very big scholarship, but in those days, every penny counted.
Exactly.
I think it was $100 or something like that.
Good. And that helped you get into the University of Florida?
Well, no, it just helped to pay some of the expenses when I did get. Yeah.
Did when you went there, did they have, like, was it still an all-male college, or...?
You know, I need to do a little research on it. It was
okay.
Close. We did have, when I was attending there, it was co-ed.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty close to the time that it became co-ed. Because I went there when, as I was active in 4-H, we used to go to what they call short course. And we spent a week in the university. In the summertime every year, if you won that position in 4-H, you could go to short course. And so I had been to short course, I guess, every year for 5, 6, 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was involved there at the university as a 4-H'er long before I got there as a student, so I knew some of the things that was going on.
They already knew you. They were expecting you. So is that what you went to college for, was for the agriculture?
Yes.
Did they have a specific program?
I was going to major in animal husbandry.
Okay.
And did.
And you went for 4 years at the university, or?
Well, I actually went for 4 years, and I was thinking about going to vet school, and at that time the only vet school was in Auburn, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And I applied, and the earliest I could get in, I would be already out of college.
Mm-hmm.
Before it was, I had to wait 2 or 3 years to be able to get in.
Wow.
So I decided I would back up and look at the feasibility of going into, I was interested in either extension, agricultural extension work, or in research.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up going toward a master's degree. And so I got my master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
And had an opportunity to go into extension down in Marion County in Ocala. And that's what got me into county agent.
So after you graduated, you went right into the extension's office?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And you were the youngest, one of the youngest
in
the state?
There were a lot of young assistant county agents my age.
Mm-hmm.
But when I became the full agent, I was the youngest at the time of that. Yeah.
And had you, when you first started out with the extension's office, did you work there for a while, or did you just go right into the position that you were in?
I went right in. When I graduated from university, in Marion County, assistant agent position opened up. I applied for it and received it and went right into it.
Wow.
And so I was very fortunate, because Marion County was one of the most active 4-H counties in the state.
Mm-hmm.
They had numerous state titles, teams, judging teams that won.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4-H'ers that won positions and went to Chicago for the national deal.
Wow.
And so it was a great county to go into for mm-hmm. training. And
so what did you do at the extension office when you first started out there?
My job was twofold. At that time I had a master's degree in animal husbandry and nutrition. Mm-hmm. So I had a job in Marion County working with the cattle people. And then I had the job of being 4-H agent.
Okay.
And so as leader of the 4-H'ers, I ended up training judging teams. We had judging teams in dairy and judging teams in beef and judging teams in poultry.
And you taught them, like, what to look for in the animal?
And in the area of poultry, I didn't know that much about it, but I found somebody that did.
That seems like it would be a little bit more in-depth.
Yeah. We had some good teams, mm-hmm. some great 4-H'ers there.
So when you say working with the cattle there, like what types of things did you do with them?
Well, it had to do with counseling the cattlemen on their pasture land and any problems they had with them with pasture land. And of course, we had a number of purebred ranches in the area. Some of them were Brahman, some of them were Shorthorn, some of them were Hereford, mm-hmm. And Angus. So it was a good training area for me.
That sounds like it. And how long were you with the Marion County office?
I was in Marion County for 2 years, and just before I left Marion County, the county agent of Marion County, he'd always been quite interested in the sheriff's department. In fact, he would periodically go on with the sheriff's department on activities. And it became available to him to be able to get appointed as sheriff, and so he took it.
Oh.
So I was appointed for a brief time as acting county agent in Marion County, Big mm-hmm. County. But at the time, I had already applied for the job of county agent here in Sanford and Seminole County because it became available.
And it was closer to home.
And it was the closest one home.
Now, when you were up in Marion County, did you live up there?
Yes.
Okay, well, good to know you didn't try to commute every day.
No, I've lived there.
So once he took the position as sheriff, how long until you got to come down here? I mean, did they find someone else?
Yeah, they found some right away. In fact, I was just acting agent to take care of some things that was going on in the county just for, goodness, it was probably more than 6 or 7 months.
Yeah. Then you come down here.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to talk about what you did down here, which was a lot.
Well, the county agent that was here at the time, it was an interesting situation. He had almost retired before his retirement.
Okay.
and some of it's understandable. During the Depression, they cut back drastically on the salaries. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the stories told is one of the farmers said to him, said, Charlie, I hear they cut back your salary. We'll cut back 25%. He says, didn't that bother you? Charlie says, well, yeah, but no. He says, I just set the lever back 25%. Well, he had done that.
Uh-huh.
And he was fortunate that he was had been in place for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the farmers were a little unhappy that they wouldn't. When he first came into the county, he did a tremendous job as county agent.
Mm-hmm.
I went through his files of things, letters and all that he sent out, and he did a remarkable job. And but after the episode with the salary and all of that, and I think he was fortunate that he was real close friends with the director of extension. So
goodness. So you came in about mid-1950s into Seminole County?
1956. Yeah. I came here, and the joke in the community was that, well, if you want to look for county agents, you just go down to Romlett and Anderson's drugstore. You'll be there in the coffee shop. So I says, well, I tell you what, you won't find me in Romlett and Anderson's. I'm going to go down to the other drugstore.
Oh, goodness.
But Charlie had done a good job. It was just there toward the end. It was just,
he was ready to go.
Yeah. And some of the old-time farmers here, you know, they pretty well understood. And so, but he was, until it came time for him to retire, he was pretty well fixed. So
when you came in, like what types of things did you do down here?
Well, one of the first things I did was to begin to get the 4-H going, because there wasn't much going in that area. And then I started working on the bringing all of the mailing list of the various farms, the citrus growers, the vegetable growers, and the cattlemen, bringing those up to date. Charlie pretty well had a list, but he wasn't keeping all of it come up to date. And that was one of the things I worked on.
So there was quite a bit of agriculture.
Yes, there was.
Planting and...
There was... In those days, we still was one of the more active vegetable producing areas in the state.
Wow.
And we had quite a bit of citrus here. We had probably 18,000 acres of citrus.
And that was in the Sanford area?
In the Sanford area, in Seminole County area. Now, the unique thing about that is that Seminole County is the fourth smallest county in the state in land area.
Mm-hmm.
So to have much acreage of anything is a little bit unique because of the size of it.
I know the big thing, that I've heard is like celery.
Yes.
And citrus, but I know that there was maybe some other things in there as well.
Well, in those days, the nursery part of it was not, it was just beginning to come on. And in the 70s, we predicted that the nursery part, ornamental horticultural nursery, was probably going to outstrip the rest of it, and it has.
Wow.
And that's just one of those things of how an area would changes to meet the needs of the community.
And what about like agriculture, beef, and things? I know there's still quite a bit of it here, but it's not as much as it was.
No. In fact, the only thing that is as much as it was is ornamental horticulture. The vegetables has dropped way down, almost nil right now. Beef cattle is still fairly. Over in the eastern part of the county is where most of the traditional pasture land was, and it's still a lot of it over there.
So that's like Geneva.
Geneva, yep.
Oviedo kind of
Chuliota.
Area. Chuliota.
Yeah. Osceola.
Osceola. Yep. Okay. And back in those days, was it more prominent? I mean, did it come further into Seminole County, or is it just still kind of always been out in that general area?
It's always been out in that area, although every area of the county had some cattle scattered in it. And not today, but back in those days.
Definitely not today. Now, when you were with the exchange office, you were telling me earlier about getting the new buildings and even using this building, the county home building, as an agricultural office.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
All right. Let me back up before that. I probably developed more offices for the county than any other department head. When I became a county agent in 1956, we were in the bottom floor of the courthouse. I called it the salt mine section of the courthouse. it was just basically one big room, which housed my office, the home economics agent's office, and we had the agricultural stabilization and conservation, the old AAA. Mm-hmm. That office was also in that area. And so, I was trying to develop part of the program that we provide an extension to farmers is information about agriculture. Mm-hmm. And some of the best information that Extension has available are the bulletins that they print on the various topics. So I determined that we were going to have when I was working my way through college at the university, one of my jobs, I worked in the bulletin room. And we sent out to county agents all over the state. They would send in an order for so many bulletins of this, so many bulletins of that. And so I was involved in shipping those out to the various agents. So I was pretty well familiar mm-hmm. with what was available in bulletins. And I determined in Seminole County we was going to have the best supply of bulletins south of Gainesville.
Wow.
And we did.
What kind of things did they put out for like bulletins? Was that like to tell of like maybe a pest type
right.
thing for plants, or
they would have a bulletin out on chinch bug control and a bulletin out on varieties of grasses and just all, you name a topic, and they had it. Yep. In vegetables, there was a general vegetable production guide that gave how many pounds of seed and how you would do for all of the vegetables for growing a garden.
So being down here in Seminole County and making more offices and making more of this information available, you were very helpful to more of the general population here to help them with their agriculture.
And that was part of the making information available.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came in to the salt mine section of the courthouse, it was a little bit difficult to do what I wanted to do with just that one big room.
Mm-hmm.
So I showed in those days the clerk of the court pretty much ran the county, and so I went to see Mr. Herndon, who was the clerk of the court, and I said, "Mr. Herndon, I know we really need a little bit more office space." And the other day I was downstairs here on the other side of our office in this big storage area down here, and I could regroup a lot of stuff that's in there and make an office right there. He says, son, let's go down there and see what you're talking about. And so I went down there, showed him, and he says, well, think about that. And he agreed that, and I didn't, as I recall, I don't think I even had to restore the stuff. I think they moved it around. And we put an office in. And so it was a all inside deal. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any, if I had claustrophobia, I'd have been in trouble because there weren't any windows.
Wow.
But it provided more wall space to do what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was to put these bulletins available for people to see and pick up.
Right. And then did you all stay in that office, or did you eventually move out into
a
new one?
We were there until the early 60s. The judges needed more room.
Mm.
And we had made our space into a pretty nice office area over the course of time. And so they wanted that space.
Mm-hmm.
So, I says, Mr. Herndon, there is an abandoned county building. It's a good building. It has the potential. And what I'd like to do is for us to create a ag center and move all the agriculture people. We've got soil conservation. We got a plant inspector. We've got ASC here.
Mm-hmm.
And put all of us in one area for the farmers just to come into one spot to see all these things. And so he says, well, we'll think about that. Well, they appointed a committee.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the committee. And so we created the Ag Center at the Stockade Building,
mm-hmm.
down here.
And that's where everybody moved with you.
Yeah, you all moved with me.
Wow.
Yeah. So then they wanted more space for the road department.
Mm-hmm.
And that was shortly about the same time that the county home had moved out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, I know where there's a place that would really work out better for us, because we're a little bit crowded here for all the people for the Ag Center.
Mm-hmm.
And they agreed to it.
So you made this entire area
this
here?
This entire building became the Ag Center.
Wow. And how long was that office here?
From the middle 60s until 19... I think Frank Jazza moved over into the new Ag Center in the mid-70s, I think.
Okay.
I'd already left as county agent at that time.
Mm-hmm. And how long were you county agent?
13 and a half years.
Wow. So what did you do when you were done being the county agent?
I had an opportunity to go into a farming operation growing watercress.
Oh.
Down in Oviedo.
Okay.
And went into a watercress growing enterprise, another young fellow and after a couple of years, well, we ended up merging with Don Weaver and his brother-in-law and created B&W Quality Growers.
Okay.
That grew into a pretty sizable watercress growing operation. We were the largest in the eastern part of the United States.
Wow.
And we had farms in Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Florida. Later on, I got out of that, and Joe Baker, who had Baker's Dairy over here, was interested in my coming to work from him. In fact, when he found out I had gone into the watercress, he said, Cecil, I didn't know you was available. I said, Joe, I probably wasn't available for anything except what I did. Because it was a good opportunity that I got into. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, when I got out of the watercress deal, I went to see Joe, and he says, yeah, I'm still interested in you. And he says, when can you start? I said, well, I got a couple of things I got to finish at home. I need a couple of weeks. He says, no, I need you to start Monday.
All right, then.
So I managed the Baker's Dairy here for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then, well, let's see, I got out of extension in 1969. And then I was in the watercress business for a couple of years. And then I managed Baker's Dairy for, I guess it was about a year and a half on each one of them. And in 1972, I opened my own farm and garden supply store in Sanford, Tucker's Farm and Garden Center. And we ran that as a family operation for the next 30 years.
And it's Myers now, is that what it is?
Horsemeyer, yeah.
Yeah. And when did you sell that there?
Well, I sold it to my son in 1983. That's when I moved to Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Let's see, 83, 84, somewhere along in there. And then he sold it to his friend, Horsemeyer's, in about 15 years later.
So during the time that you lived, or that you worked out here in Seminole County, did you still live in Christmas?
No. I've always lived from the time I came here as county agent, I've lived here in Seminole County.
Oh, okay.
I didn't move back to Christmas until after I sold the store and retired. Then I moved to Christmas in the mid-80s.
So you lived in Oviedo, Chuliota area?
No.
No?
Always right here in Sanford.
Really?
No.
All right.
Actually, over here, it's what's called Citrus Heights. Mm-hmm. That's where we lived.
The whole time?
The whole time, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I shouldn't say the whole time, because I bought a little house on Rosalia Drive, and we lived there a few years, and then I lived out here.
Wow. Now, during all this time, you met a lovely lady.
Actually, I met her and courted her while we were in college and university.
So she went to University of Florida, too?
She went to university for a while. Mm-hmm. Her mother had to have an operation, and the money that was sending her to college had to be used. And so by that time, she and I had gotten pretty serious, and she got a job in working for an orange packing company in Orlando. And after, I don't know, a little over a year, we ended up getting married.
Yeah.
And then she came back to the university.
How'd you win her over? Did you do anything special? Or did you just say, all right, woman?
We need to make that a continued story. I'll be right back.
All right, then.
Now, then, you was wanting to know about my wife.
Yes.
Well, during the year that she was there, of course, I knew of her before I got to university. I doubt if she knew too much about me beforehand. But I was a member of the Alpha Gamma Rho fraternity. Had coach fraternity there. Mm-hmm. And I would invite her every guest night to come over to the fraternity house and eat with us. And so they got to be pretty.
Wow.
And, so, and by the way, you want to put Miss Tucker on your list as one to do an oral interview.
I will do that.
Because she's an old time, it's an Albritton old time Florida family. And but she's been active here in Seminole County. She helped me to get the store going.
Mm-hmm.
She's active in the cattle operation. In fact, when I was running the store, she did as much of the cattle work as I did.
Mm-hmm.
We had a pet at the store. It was a wild pig that became pretty well known in the community. She used to take it on a leash downtown when she went to make the deposit at the bank. She carried her dog, the pig, with her. And
what was his name?
Pete. Streaky Pete. Pete the pig. And he grew to be about 700 pounds.
Wow.
But anyway, that's another story. And but she was active. She was active in Farm Bureau, in the women's deal in Farm Bureau. She was active in 4-H, doing some of the judging and some of the 4-H activities here. And of course, when we were opened a store, she was part of that. Mm-hmm. So she'd be another one to talk to.
And she. So you all married before you graduated?
You're right.
Mm-hmm. So she went to Marion County with you? And
yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, let's see. Before I got my master's, she was expecting my daughter. And she typed my thesis. And then when we moved to Ocala, trying to remember at what point, my daughter was born before then. And,
And you have one daughter? Or?
I've got one daughter and two sons, the twins.
Oh.
They were born on my daughter's second birthday.
Wow.
And then we have an adopted daughter.
Okay.
As well. So.
And you all have always had cattle in your family?
Yes.
So they put your boys to work?
We've had cattle in our family as far as we can tell going back into the
1700s. Wow. It's a long time.
Yeah. And that's another thing I'm researching, because one of these days, that's going to be a part of my book, too. So.
And, okay. As far as the cattle in your family, the history,
yeah.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
Well, do you have anything else that you want to
let's
add
see.
To our...
Where there's a lot of things that we could go into and talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And
we can always come back and talk about different things if you wanted to.
The problem of being able to have to build a program when the county didn't have any funds,
mm-hmm.
it is a problem. I needed, and of course I was always on the low end of the pay scale. If it wasn't for the fact that this is where I wanted to be, I'd have gone somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I left to go into the watercress, I was offered at a job paying me twice as much as I was in extension, and he couldn't understand why I wouldn't take it, because my opportunity that I was going into was better.
Right.
So, well, let me look here, see if there's anything. This is interesting. When I came to the county, the phone number for the county agent's office was 470.
470?
470.
That's it.
That was it. But we went through the medfly infestation, mm-hmm. and we went through the fire burning the farmer's market down, mm-hmm. and having to help get things going to for it to build back up. We had a, in 57, late 57, early 58, a severe freeze deal that actually we had cattle dying because it wasn't enough hay, and we brought in hay for that. We had one of the projects that I worked on was the eradication of screwworms, mm-hmm. And my dad was involved in that. That was one of the miracles of using atomic energy to eradicate screwworm fly. The female fly mates only once, and so they found that if they would raise screwworm flies and irradiate them with the atomic mm-hmm. energy deal, it sterilized the males, and they put these male flies out in the area, and they mate with the wild females, mm-hmm. and the eggs wouldn't hatch.
Oh.
And by continually doing that, they lowered the population of the screwworm fly to completely eradicate it.
Really? So it's gone for good?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it's gone.
That's amazing.
And my dad was involved in that. He was an inspector. Mm-hmm. In fact, some of the first pastures that they put the screwworm fly out in was his pasture.
Wow.
And and when I was county agent, of course, I would make contact with the cattle people and pass along the information to him about what was going on. And if there was an outbreak somewhere, they'd get on top of it.
Hmm. And did they still have the technique of doing the cow dipping when you were...
Yes, now the cow dipping... this was for to eliminate the cattle tick, mm-hmm. the fever tick. And in the early 50s, they were still, in fact, my dad worked with that. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of the dipping going on, getting rid of the fever tick. And that lasted till, I guess, the early 60s. But it pretty well.
Right. How did they... Is it something that they were able to just control?
They were able to control it by dipping mm-hmm. continually. They were able to eliminate the fever tick.
Oh, okay.
After they wiped out a bunch of the deer who was perpetuating it.
Right.
And some of your family was involved in that.
Yes, sir.
Let's see. We had a fire ant infestation that came into the county, and we almost got eliminated by flying B-17s and putting out Myrex until the do-gooders got involved and killed the program.
And still have fire ants.
And we still have fire ants, and we'll always have fire ants. But we came within about two flights of eliminating them.
Wow. Now, did that have any, the chemicals used, did it have any effect on people? Is that why the people got involved?
The problem is it could create some problem in the water, in affect fish and this sort of thing.
Oh.
But we could have eliminated that, but you know, by not steering away from those areas.
Right.
And, anyway. Let's see. Any other questions?
No, not if there's anything. I mean, I have lots of questions. I know you're big into the rodeo, and you've done a lot for 4-H and different things like that, but we can come back maybe and talk about that another time.
What do is make your list.
Okay.
And we can do it. And like I said, I think you need to do to interview my wife, because I think you'll find that'll be interesting as well.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of little ins and outs of what went on here in the county. That,
I'll definitely schedule a day with her so she can come in and talk to me.
Good deal.
Oh, I appreciate it very much.
And I appreciate your being on board to help do these things.
Absolutely.
And we'll want to look through the list of people and be sure that we get some. The thing of it is, we're 5 years late on a lot of people that passed on. Joe Baker, it'd been great to be able to get his. And I want to set up Don Weaver.
Okay.
Don Weaver and his family they came here from Pennsylvania. But they are pioneers in the watercress industry in the United States. And he lives down in Chulioda on the south side of Lake Mills.
Okay.
And we'll work out, get that set up. Anything else?
No, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.